powered by passion. It's National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with your host, National Fixed Operations Training Manager, Corey Smith.
Welcome to Fixed Ops 5. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Manager with National Auto Care. Today, I'm being joined by a very special guest, AJ Holst. AJ, welcome to Fixed Ops 5.
Corey, how are you? Thanks for having me. I really appreciate you having me.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this. This episode is entitled, What Does the Manufacturer Really Want from the Franchise Dealer? And I think you're the expert when it comes to this. But before we get into the episode, why don't you tell the audience who you are, what got you to this point in your life, and what do you do now?
Who I am, my name is AJ Holst. I'm the president of AJ Holst Consulting. I'm a dealer guy. I've been in the dealership. I've been in the automotive industry. I literally just celebrated 37 years, which is, yeah, thanks for the clap.
That's
sometimes
awesome.
I wonder what's wrong with me, but you know, a lot of people think that the way this industry is, that you have to have some sort of special thing, or you got to go to school for this or whatever. Quite frankly, I got thrown out of college because I partied too much the first semester, and I ended up in the car business. I had a friend of mine who worked at the dealership, and they said, "Hey, we're looking for some help." And I started out as a delivery representative, which basically what that was the person that went over the vehicle and how everything worked on the car with the customer after they came out of F&I.
Oh, okay.
I did that for a while. Then I became a salesperson. I sold cars for about 11, 12 years. I was very fortunate enough. I had the opportunity to meet my beautiful wife, and we've been together now for about 36 years.
Did you sell our car?
Yes.
Awesome. I love it.
So, and then what ended up happening is, if anybody out there is familiar with sales, everybody runs into those ruts where it's just like you couldn't sell ice water in hell. and I ran into that, and it's like, I didn't know what to do. I wasn't making the money I wanted, and it just got into a rut. A friend of mine was the service director of the dealership, and he said, "Why don't you try being a service advisor?" And subsequently, that's what ended up happening. I ended up becoming a service advisor, worked my way up and became a service manager. I was with the same company for about 25 years.
Wow.
And then when my daughter graduated from college, my wife and I wanted to get out of New Jersey, which is where I'm originally from. And everybody wanted to hire me based upon my skill set. But I found that where I was moving to, nobody wanted to pay what I was accustomed to.
Right.
So what ended up happening was I ended up speaking to somebody, and they got me in touch with another person. And I ended up getting into the consulting aspect of it. And for the past 10, 11 years, that's what I've been doing. In the beginning, I did specifically express service. That's all I did. With SOS, and for the past couple of years, I've actually been doing everything on my own and doing consulting of live training, virtual training, and things of that nature. So I love it. I love the business.
I do too. And just like you talked about earlier is, you know, even though you got kicked out of college, right, it was probably a blessing because it got you into this career path that you might have overlooked, right?
Absolutely. And might be, I did go back. And I did finish up my degree. So I just, that needs to be said, but I did it for me. I did it for me. Not it's something that I had to do, because this industry is tremendous. I mean, if you have a personality, and if you can go out there and you're willing to put in the hard work, and you're willing to really, really put your nose to the grindstone, so to speak, you can be a success in this industry, whether it be on the sales floor, whether it be in the drive lane as an advisor. You can make a really, really good living and support your family and do all the nice things for yourself. But you got to be willing to put in the work.
Oh, yeah. And I agree with you. So let's jump right into this episode.
Sure.
The factory is always changing, always moving the cheese, if you will, right? How can the dealership keep pace with these changes that the factory has?
You know, the first thing, the big thing that I would say would be stay relevant. Stay relevant in the industry. And what I mean is stay up to date with what's going on in the industry. You know, from a service perspective, you've got your fixed operations managers from the manufacturers telling you what to do and so on and so forth. They're worrying about what they need to accomplish. They're selling their programs to the dealer. you have to do what's best for you as a dealer. All right. Keep in mind, most service people in the industry, in the on the OEM side, never did what you do. They've never sat in your chair. They've never written an RO in their life. They've never been kicked in the teeth or screamed at by a customer and cursed at during good times, bad times. They have no idea what you do. All they know is that they have their little playbook from the manufacturer saying, this is what the dealership should do. You got to stay relevant in your industry and stay on top of what's going on in the industry that pertains to you. The best thing to really do is what is in the best interest. If you do what is in the best interest of your dealership, the manufacturer, and of course the customer, if you do it in the best interest of those three things, you're always going to do the right thing, especially if you take care of the customer.
Yeah, I really like, I like those points. That's great.
You know, and you'll never get in. You always have to stay on top of technology. As a service advisor, you got to know what the heck you're talking about. You have to know what is going on with a vehicle. You don't know how to fix it. That's what the technician's job is. But you have to know how to explain how something works. If you're a salesperson, you better darn well know how to explain what you're selling, because that's your bread and butter. And things are always changing. So you have to stay on top of the technology that the OEM is putting out there. Stay on top of the products, the change of products, and the changes from year to year. This is a question, Corey, that we could go off on a tangent and talk about a lot of different things. But know your product, know your training. Know your technology and train your people on what's expected from the manufacturer. And from the manufacturer standpoint, I actually do a course on warranty administration.
Oh, wow.
Know the basic stuff. Talk about your three C's. Know exactly what the manufacturer wants in order for you not to be audited. You know, right. Things along that, your punch times, know what to look for. Make sure your three C's, your complaint, cause, and correction are on the ROs at all times. And if the technician doesn't give it to you, give them back the RO and say, give it to me. Make sure your punch time is consistent. Don't punch out at 1 o'clock and then punch back. You know, don't punch on at 1 o'clock and then punch off at 1 o'clock the next day.
Right.
You're not going to get paid on that. You need a signature if you add on an RO, if you add on a line. Every manufacturer is different, but there's usually 10 or 12 things that are guaranteed to be audited if they're not done.
I like the technical side of it, the new technologies being implemented in these vehicles, and for the advisor to know why it's not connected properly or how to use it. Or, I mean, these come with so many different features. To keep up on the on the tech side of it is a big challenge, right? Because if they have seven different models, all seven different models could have different technology.
Well, Corey, you travel like I do. So, you know, you live in one part of the country. I live in another. We fly into an airport and we get a rental car. How many times have you gotten into a rental car and something happens and you're like, well, what the hell is this? What's this? I'm driving down the road and something's buzzing on my backside. It's like, what's that? And I always make a point. All right. Now, in my case, my main client right now is Nissan and Infiniti. So I try my best to get a Nissan or Infiniti when I rent a car. So I go to the dealership representing the product. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to the dealership and I go, man, I got this thing going on. Could you tell me what it is? Nah, not sure how that works.
Really?
How can you deal with a customer and keep your customers coming back if you can't tell them what the heck you need, what something works and how things are going?
Yeah.
You gotta know your product.
Right. Okay. Know your product. Retention is a new metric that the factory is talking about. What is one thing the dealership can do to retain that customer longer?
There's more than one answer.
I'll take them all. Okay. I'll take all your knowledge and just lay it on me.
All right. First, what's the couple things that you can do? First thing, you got to cater to the customer. You got to cater to the customer, and you have to be convenient. If that means, you know, when I say cater, if you take it like that means you got to kiss their ass, then so be it. Because the customers are very, very demanding now. They're much more savvy, mm-hmm. and they know what they want, and they know when they want it. You have to cater to them, and you have to be convenient. If you offer express service, you and I talk to a lot of different people. And one of the things that always gets brought up with me is something like installing wiper blades for free.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I posted recently on LinkedIn was, if you need to charge a customer to put on wiper blades in order to increase your gross profit, you got bigger problems in this world than worrying about the wiper blades and how much you're collecting to install them.
Right.
Because your competitor is not the other dealers that are out there. That's not your competitor. Your competitors are the Napas of the world, or the, you know, Advanced Auto Parts, the people that will literally jump over the counter and say, "No problem, sir, ma'am, I'll put them on for you." If you buy a battery from Advanced Auto Parts, they put it in for you. Now, granted, I'm not saying that we should do that as at a dealership, but you get my drift.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
You have to be convenient for the customer, because if you're not convenient, they're not going to come back. The other thing is, you have to communicate. You got to communicate with the customer and let them know what's going on. Don't assume that they know that you offer Wi-Fi, that you offer rides home. They, you know, don't assume those things. Don't assume that you're doing a multi-point inspection. Ah, that customer, Corey's been coming to me for years. Ah, he knows I do that. Well, does he? If you don't show it, and if you don't go over it, and you don't show that added value that your dealership has over everybody else, all you are is just the next person that, you know, all you are is the next person that comes, you know, you're just the another person that a customer brings their car for service. I just made an oil change appointment for my wife's vehicle. I'm bringing it in tomorrow. And I went there the last time because I recently moved. Mm-hmm. The last time I was there, I got an oil change on my vehicle. The only thing that I remember as a customer, only thing I remember is that I stood out in the parking lot with a crumbled up, you know, plastic seat, the plastic seat covers. Yeah. I'm standing there outside my car in the cold going, "Where do I throw this? Where do I throw it out?" Because they didn't have the common courtesy to pull it out. Which brings me to that next point, and that is, what do you expect as a customer? If you're an advisor, if you're a service manager, we all go out of our way to go and do business with other people, a barber, maybe a favorite restaurant, a doctor, a veterinarian, whatever. We all go out of our way to go places and do business. Why? There's something that keeps us coming back. Whatever your tickle is, whatever gets you going and makes you go back there for whatever reason it is, think about that long and hard. And are you translating what you expect as a customer to your customer consistently every single time? Because that's what's keeping you coming back. Are you doing for them what's keeping you coming back? You know what I'm saying?
That's a great point, AJ. I love that. And I think it can be said and sum it up really well, is that brag about the value that you bring that makes your dealership different from somebody else, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Brag about it.
Here's another thing too, and this is really the final point, and this is something I don't think a lot of dealers think about. You want to retain your customers? Figure out how you're going to retain your people. Turnover is huge. People, customers like consistency. Mm-hmm. They don't like coming seeing a new face every single time. You want your customers to come back. You want to build that relationship with that, them always coming back, asking for the same person, asking for the business, you know, all that good stuff. Figure out how to retain good quality people, and you'll start figuring out how to retain your customers.
That is spot on, AJ. That is great. You work for some amazing manufacturers. You were talking about it earlier. What kind of training and support is out there now that the dealership can take advantage of with, you know, just those manufacturers that you work with?
Well, like I said, within my case, I work with Infiniti and Nissan a lot. So you've got Nissan Virtual Academy, and you've also got Infiniti University Online. But my background at the dealership is with working in the dealerships is with Nissan, with Chevrolet, Kia, Cadillac, Subaru. You know, every single manufacturer has a place that you can go, that you can keep up with technology and find out what training is offered. And it's a tremendous resource. The problem is that nobody knows where it is. So what you have to do is really find out where it is, whether it be through, you know, find out from your service representative, from your manufacturer, what's out there. And, you know, the other thing too is if you can't find it, get out there and find it. If nobody's willing to help you find it, figure out a way to find it. And if you can't find it or if it doesn't exist, train yourself. You know, there's so much out there. There's so many things out there that you can train yourself on. Owner's manuals, brochures, YouTube. I
love YouTube.
I mean, you can go to YouTube and think about it from a service standpoint. Go back to the retention aspect of it. You're losing customers. Charge for wiper blades. Go on YouTube. It'll show you exactly how to put on wiper blades. What do you think your customers are doing? They're doing the same damn thing. Right. Do what they're doing, right? But really the big thing is, you know, if you don't know, you gotta find where your level is. Find out exactly what you need to know in order to do your job, to perfect your craft. You know, being in the service industry, you can't fly by the seat of your pants. You can't just walk in there and say, I'm ready to be a service advisor today. No, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
But fortunately, I'm sorry.
I think you're right. You can't fly by the seat of your pants. And I think that's old thinking, you know, because back in the day, I'll admit we did do that, right? But it's not going to work with today's customer.
You know, one of the things I've always said, and you've heard me say this before, you know, service advisors have arguably the most difficult job in the store. They talk to more people in one day than most people talk to in a week,
mm-hmm.
but they're the least trained. If there's any advisors that are listening to this, I mean, think about it. If you were trained like me, it was, hey, you interviewed well, you got a great personality, you're going to do great. Go follow this guy for a couple of days, and then I'll show you how to open and close ROs on the computer. And then what ends up happening is you go follow that person. Tomorrow they call out sick or they're on vacation, and then nobody else wants to help you. And then the boss looks at you and goes, you know what? You'll be okay. Come get me if you have any questions or if there's any problem. And now you're literally left to fend for yourself.
Yeah, practicing on customers.
Most advisors, that's how they're trained. It's crazy.
Yeah.
That, it's got better, but not perfect.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, I don't want the new person practicing on my customers because that they'll defend.
Expensive.
It's very expensive. You're absolutely right. So that's a great point. And I think, you know, those manufacturers have an amazing training platform and they do have more support. But I like where you went with it too, is look outside of the manufacturer and look at YouTube and look at, you know, people like ourselves to come in and do some, you know, fundamental training or you know, advanced, yeah. if you will. But there, I know I sound really old when I say this, but when I wrote service, we didn't have this stuff. We weren't talking about, you know, more training for the back end. And now you have, you know, guys like ourselves and Ted Ings and
you've got Fixed Ops Magazine, you've got Automotive News. I mean, service managers get Fixed Ops Magazine for free.
Yeah,
it with your service advisors. Automotive News, your dealer principal gets it from NADA every single month. At the end of the month, they throw it away. Rummage through the garbage and get the darn thing. It keeps you relevant in the industry and lets you know exactly what's going on out there. There is, I mean, blogs. I mean, you yourself. I mean, you have a blog. There's podcasts that's out there. There's so many forums out there on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, social media. If you're not taking advantage of these things to hone your craft, and be better at what you do, you're just missing the boat.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I like that. So we're right up against the time, but I wanted to get your three takeaways from this episode in your mind that a service advisor, an agent, someone in leadership at the dealership can really take away from this episode.
Train your people. Train. I mean, you can't train enough, you know, and, you know, part of that is, you know, that I think it's Richard Branson says, train your people well enough so they can do their job anywhere, but treat them well enough so they wouldn't want to. Yeah. That's something that you really want to, you know, hold on to. Communicate with your customers clearly. Don't assume that they know what you know. Sell the value of your dealership. There's a lot to be said for a clean bathroom. I know that sounds crazy, but don't assume that the customer knows where it is or where things are. Communicate with them absolutely clearly. And again, the best thing, you want to retain your customers, figure out a way of how to retain your people, but also whatever you're looking for as a customer, what you look for as a customer, make sure you translate exactly what you're looking for consistently to your customers, and they'll keep coming back because that person, whatever you do business, that's what keeps you coming back.
Love it, AJ. If you want to deliver a legendary customer experience that keeps the customer coming back to you and encourages them to invite their friends, their family into your establishment, then you've got the gold standard customer service vision. Do you want a more cohesive team that delivers a higher level of customer service that will result in more revenue for your dealership? We provide the tools, knowledge, and training needed to unlock that potential of your dealership. For more information on this topic and others, or to submit a question, or to be a guest on the show, feel free to send me an email, csmith@nationalautocare.com. AJ, that is all the time that we have for today. I want to thank you for being a part of this episode, and I'll ask this very last question like I ask every guest. Will you please come back?
Absolutely. I was excited to do this, and I appreciate you having me, Corey. Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Have a great week.
You too.
Thank you for watching and listening to National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with Corey Smith, powered by Passion. Be sure to watch and listen to the next episode on the 5th and 20th of every month.